Hello and welcome. This is the Mighty Mellow DJ Fred from Radio Thrift Shop, and you're listening to a brand new program. It's Gentle on My Mind, an easy listening experience, featuring mellow sounds for the now generation.
Thank you.
The one and only Joe Pass with Ode to Billy Joe. And before that, we heard Basil Kirchen and the title track to a very rare and unreleased soundtrack called I Start Counting. Well, this is the Mighty Mellow DJ Fred. You're listening to Gentle on My Mind. It's time for Bird Note.
This is Bird Note. Rita McMahon started New York City's only wild bird rehab center in her apartment in 2005. But after years of hard work, she needed a better location.
In 2012, we opened our storefront in a lovely landmark building, and I got to move out the 60 birds that were in my apartment on my husband's birthday. It was a nice present.
The Wild Bird Fund has grown to see more than 7,000 birds each year. They see lots of pigeons, a lot of birds for lead poisoning, but during migration season, there's one common culprit.
Right now, the great majority are from the window collisions. Like last weekend on Saturday, 26 in one day. That's a lot.
Most birds don't survive the impact with glass in the first place. If they do make it, many have concussions or broken bones. Only about a third of the birds brought to the Wild Bird Fund for window collisions survive.
So when it comes to us, we see our job as really what we're doing is hospice. Stop the suffering, make the end as comfortable as possible.
Saving birds from this unhappy end requires rethinking the way we design buildings. And New York City is on the cutting edge of that challenge. This past December, the New York City Council passed legislation that will require builders to use at least 90% bird-safe materials for the bottom 75 feet of a building. That's where the vast majority of collisions occur. Maybe in the future, Rita will see fewer birds at her rehab center. For Bird Note, I'm Ashley Ahern. You can hear an extended story about birds and glass on our podcast, Bird Note Presents. Subscribe in your podcast app or find it at our website, birdnote.org.
We're going to dig into the Liberace Library here on Gentle on My Mind. This is Stardust.
Thank you. Thank you.
harpist Johnny Taupin with his cover of the Beatles' Fool on the Hill from his album Harpadelic, released back in 1969. And before that, we heard Laurence Vinet from her LP Evening Colors, and that was Morning Quiet Song. I hope that all is well in your castle of quiet. You're listening to Gentle on My Mind, an easy listening experience. Relax and breathe.
Hey. such a sad affair. With you again, what to say to make you come again? Come back and play for me. You're
Arthur Lyman with Alfie. Before that, Delaney and Bonnie and Friends with Superstar. And we started off with the Stylistics, Betcha by Golly Wow.
Exploring Science and the Sea. Today, the word trade means to swap something. That hasn't always been the case, though. Centuries ago, it meant a path or a track. The new definition blew in on the wind, the trade wind. Trade winds blow in belts that flank the equator. The sun heats the air and oceans at the equator. Warm, humid air then rises and heads toward the poles. As it reaches about 30 degrees north and south of the equator, the air cools and descends. Earth's rotation deflects this flow. So as it reaches the surface, the air moves to the west and back toward the equator. That creates the most consistent, steady winds on the planet, the trades. Most of the time, trade winds blow at around 10 miles per hour. Sometimes, though, they can top 30 miles per hour, and they're much more common over water than over land. They seldom stop. And that's what led to their name. Early European sailors found that these bands of wind made their journeys across the Atlantic Ocean much faster. So they were the right path to follow to the Americas. Since the ships carried goods, the name of the winds came to apply to the practice of swapping things, of trading. Changes in the trades in the Pacific Ocean can have a big impact on global weather. When they slow down, water in the eastern Pacific gets warmer, creating El Niño. And when they speed up, the water gets cooler, creating La Niña. These changes cause big shifts in climate in the U.S. and elsewhere, trading weather patterns at the whim of the winds. For the University of Texas Marine Science Institute at Port Aransas, I'm Holly Brawley.
Welcome back to Gentle on My Mind, an easy listening experience. I'm the Mighty Mellow DJ Fred. It's time for the Conniff Connection.
Look.
Songs from Ray Conniff, The Look of Love, and Unchained Melody. Well, it's time for the Betamax Bin here on Gentle on My Mind. In the Betamax Bin set, we explore some music from soundtracks. Today we're going to hear some music from a film called The Naked Island, a black and white film from 1960, directed by Kaneto Shindo. And the film is notable for having almost no spoken dialogue. It was released on November 23rd, 1960. We're going to hear some music from the very rare soundtrack of The Naked Island.
Thank you.
Music from the 1960 Japanese film The Naked Island. We heard the title track, Promenade, Theme of Water, and L'amour de l'enfant. Yes, indeed, I do believe it is a sad film. But some beautiful music here on Gentle on My Mind.
An owl's wings are designed for stealth flying, but just how the design works is still a bit of a mystery. I'm Jim Mitzner, and this is The Pulse of the Planet.
So yeah, it's been known for over 80 years that owls are very silent flyers, and also that owls' wings have unique features that appear to be related to the silent flight. There are three features. One is little feathers that go forward of the front of the wing. Another one is the kind of fringe that is formed by the feathers at the back of the wing. And the third one is little hairs that grow out of the wing surface.
William Devenport is a professor of engineering at Virginia Tech. He's been taking a close look at why an owl's wing is so silent.
The focus of our work has really been to look at the possible effects of these little hairs. And these previously haven't been understood at any great depth in terms of what they can do to the sound made in flight. Our original thought came from the fact that the owl has little hairs growing out of its feathers, and we thought that the owl used these to quieten the sound made by the air rushing over the rough surface of the owl's wings. But in the course of our experimentation, we decided that actually the owl more likely uses these to quieten the sound made by the trailing edge of its wing, which is much louder than the rough surface.
Professor Devenport and his colleagues are aiming to design a silent wind turbine blade inspired by the fine structure of an owl's wing.
Our intent was to take the inspiration that came from the owl's hair and the results that we had seen in our first wind tunnel test and use them to come up with structures that we could put on the back of a wind turbine blade or on a wing that would quieten that wind turbine blade or wing.
We'll hear more in future programs. I'm Jim Mitzner, and this is The Pulse of the Planet.
Flight crew, please prepare for takeoff.
Some new music from Kiara Geller from the album Airports O' Call. Well, this is the Mighty Mellow DJ Fred. You've been listening to Gentle on My Mind, an easy listening experience. For more information, you can join our Facebook group. Just hunt for Gentle on My Mind. Also, the programs are archived at radioforall.net. That's radio, the number 4, all.net. And until next time, remember, be gentle with yourself, be gentle of spirit, be gentle on your mind.
Change.